Greetings and welcome to In the Spotlight podcast, a new podcast where I talk to interesting figures in music and culture in Wales and beyond. My name's Bill Cummings, and today I am joined by Griff from Libertino Records.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
Not too bad, mate. Bit tired. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good actually. I've been spending the morning writing press releases, which I strangely enjoy. So, yeah, nice and busy.
Yeah, it's a process, isn't it?
Yeah.
We had a little chat before we started, and you were talking about a new band you've signed.
Yes, I've signed a band from Pastatyn called Bowcat, sort of three piece. I'm really excited about, it's amazing when those moments happen. I saw them for the first time, put them on in Larne Festival,
Oh, nice.
and yeah, it was just like, oh wow, okay, you're something special. And it's really special to have a three piece that actually, sometimes you see a three piece and you think, oh, they'd be good if they had another guitarist to make the sound larger or denser. But with them, it's just perfect. That kind of, they just bounce off each other. And the space itself that they create, they actually makes the parts sound bigger.
Right.
So yeah, really interesting band. And so yeah, they got a bit of the Lars and that kind of Liverpool kind of choral kind of
Nice.
countryside to them.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, it's part, actually is a very Liverpool thing, the kind of tremolo kind of 60s love kind of psychedelia.
Nice.
So yeah, really excited to work with them. So yeah, so I feel really lucky.
I get all that because half my family are from Liverpool. My mum's from Liverpool. And yeah, so I get all that sort of sound as well. So it's also interesting because, we'll probably go on to talk about this before, but I've been reading this book about, the 90s Welsh music. And like some of the bands from North Wales used to like pretend they were from Liverpool as well, which is symptomatic of how the industry was or treated like Welsh bands then. But we can talk about that later. But I've asked you to come on because like it's nearly 10 years of Libertino Records. People don't know you're based in Carmarthen, and you've released some excellent albums in the last decade. You've recently releasing a compilation, aren't you, called Swigod. So
Yes.
I thought I'd ask you on to talk about that and the label and, what else you've got going on. So
Thank
what
you.
made you come up with the idea of doing a compilation, I guess, of the last decade?
I think it was two things. I was going to do a compilation at the 5 year mark. A label I've always, I kind of grew up with and really admired was Angst, especially Emir, who sadly passed away last year. And I always say that, Angst kind of built this alternative highway that we're all traveling on. And they released a compilation called Up Elvis, I think at the 5 year mark. It's a great compilation. So in a way, I was brought up on these compilations. You think of as a Dial M for Mirtha,
That's the classic one, isn't it? Which I
one.
Didn't really know until recently that Simon Williams from Fierce Panda was involved with it as well. So
I know, and that was crazy how many great tracks were on that one.
Definitely.
And also, you had before then, Welsh language musical culture. You had Cam o Tywyllwch, Gadael y Geinfed Ganrif from Anrhen Records. Which is Rhys Mwyn. Those are really important records. That's where that Bluggy had their first, actually, it's the first time that I think a Team Lad is on that compilation. Griff Rhys's first school band is on it. It's a great bands, and the bands are kind of, if you like, created that alternative scene in the 80s. And then became part of, the bigger bands in the 90s. So I was kind of brought up on that because I think I probably didn't have much money as a teenager. So you bought these compilations and you had 10 great bands on it. So yeah, it is in a way I wanted to be part of that lineage, and create a compilation that, a 14-year-old would pick up, and or somebody in 10 years would pick up, say, "Oh, this is really cool," and go through it and find the next favorite band. Or so yeah, so it's I'm not one for nostalgia really, and looking back, the label's always kind of pushing forward, but I thought this was the right time to kind of take stock a bit and feel, okay, I've reached, if you like, the end of the first chapter. And also musically, I think my tastes have dramatically changed over the last 10 years, in a good way. So I think the next 10 years, are going to be very different. So this is the right time to kind of say, actually a thank you to, in a way, it's a thank you to the fans who have supported these bands. If it wasn't for the people who've gone to the shows, bought the records, I wouldn't be talking to you. And also thanks to the bands. It's been a real privilege to be part of their creative journey. So yeah, it was fun to do.
How did you pick the tracks? Probably very hard.
It was a bit of a nightmare. A great friend of mine, Charlie Francis, who's a great producer, is based in Cardiff. Fair play to Charlie. I sent him probably around the 5-year mark, what I thought was going to be the track listing running order. And every year he'd just send me a nice message saying, "Come on, you need to do this." So it's thanks to him and an artist called John Malavsky, who does a lot of my artwork. John also was nicely kind of nudging me, "Come on, you need to do this." Yeah, eventually, I think the issue was that I had so many. We released about 300 records in the last 8 to 9 years. So it was hard. But in the end, I just went into the kitchen one day, made a cup of tea, and sat down and gave myself a quarter of an hour and just went on. If nobody knew anything about Libertino, I just wanted, okay, what from my heart would be the story. And that's it's a triple album digitally, and on vinyl it's a double album, so 29 tracks altogether. And there's a lot of tracks I've missed out and bands, but I wanted, it's not like a best of it. What it is an introduction, and I wanted to show that all the flavors, because we're not a label. Some labels are, shoegaze label, or they've got a sound. Libertino's not that, because I'm quite eclectic. So, you've got everything from post-hardcore to pop to R&B, and psychedelia, all kinds of things. So it was just finding the right flavors of the label.
Yeah, it's really eclectic, isn't it? Obviously, you've got bands that people know you for in terms of Adwaith Innes, Chroma, obviously, and then you've got Gilly as well and Keys, and then you've got artists that maybe some people may not be familiar with, but and then you've got like different genres as well, like Minas on there,
It's like a big
Nafamadi
shop.
Kuate. That's a great track as well, isn't it? That
Oh, those are
one,
great EP. And that was great to release, really. So excited to see where he goes next, because he hasn't released anything since then. I think he's very much making his own path and is a growing fan base through being a live artist at the moment, which is really exciting, so I think when he does release his first album, that's going to be quite big.
Like you said, the old compilation, it's sort of. Is it the way you used to discover tracks before, like playlistings and things like that came in, especially songs you've never heard of or artists you've never heard of. So it is a good way
Yeah,
of introducing as
definitely.
well, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And going back to angst, you know. I think Emma put out compilation called Wadjo Crummy playlist,
Okay. Yeah.
which was more the angst music era. Oh my gosh, you know, that's one of my favorite records, not just a compilation, you know.
Yeah.
It's just it's always my kind of go-to if I was ever DJing somewhere. Yeah, you just need to take that with you, you know,
Yeah.
and you just knew you're kind of safe if you're stuck for playing something, because it was just rammed with so many cool bands, you know, Tustion and Zabinski and Dubplugi, obviously, and
Yeah.
so yeah, really cool.
Paved the way for what you're doing. I was going to ask you, like, what are your favorite ones? Because it's like, but it's like choosing between your children, isn't it, in a way? So I was thinking maybe more, what are the like turning point records, I guess, for Libertino?
Yeah.
Because, you know, like you said, you've released quite a lot, but which ones do you think really, it may not even be the most successful, it might be just the ones that took you on a different path, I suppose.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think you know, the first album I released was Alex Stingley's
Yeah.
album.
Yeah.
And I just knew when I was doing the compilation that I had to finish with Lovely Life to Leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Such a beautiful, beautiful song. And you know, I've always been a massive fan of Alex. You know, and I think releasing that album really felt special. Yeah, I think that made me realize right at the beginning, actually, I can do this, you know.
And was
Because
that on
that
vinyl? Was that on vinyl?
was on vinyl, yeah.
Yeah, because
On
that must be a commitment, especially the beginning, because you know it's costly, isn't it, to
it was. And you
get a
know,
vinyl run, so.
yeah, and it was only a couple of months in, I think, when we decided to do it into the label's kind of story. And but yeah, there's too much. I think I'm always going to be really proud to have released that album because it's so special. And Alex himself is, I think, one of the underrated songwriters in Wales. So yeah, so I think that album in itself made me realize, hang on, I can do this, and I think we did a good job on it, you know. Because it's really interesting, you know, I never released an album before for another artist. And you know, it was like a as if you're holding an egg, so, you know, I didn't want to crack it, I wanted it to
Yeah.
be perfect. So it reminds me of, there's a great quote by Tony Wilson, who's one of my heroes from Factory Records. And I think I read it really early on, and it said, "No two campaigns and no two artists are exactly the same."
Yeah.
You know, you can double up exactly what you've done with one artist with another one, and that album, first one takes off, and the second one doesn't. And I think working on Alex made me realize you just have to go with it. You do have to trust the process. You can't be in control of all of it.
Yeah.
And the best you can do is to present the music as the artist's, you know, their vision, to be true to their vision, and to present it in a way you think that's going to have the biggest chance of having an impact to and
Yeah.
find an audience. So yeah, so that was a good learning curve.
And what about any of the others? Because obviously, you know, if people don't know the story, Libertino was found, the idea behind it was in The Parrot, wasn't it? When you one of Adwoi's first gigs, is that right?
Yeah, it was Adwoi's second gig. It
Wow,
was
yeah.
I'd seen their first gig. I think I was DJing that night, because I used to DJ in the Parrot, and yeah, I thought they were amazing. But the second gig, I think Heled was had joined by then. I think the first gig Heled wasn't, they didn't have a drummer,
Yeah.
and it was just, you know, I've said this story many times, but it was just still gives me goosebumps. You know, I just walked into the Parrot, and they were already playing, and I kind of reached halfway into the dance floor, and I didn't move for the next 20 minutes. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is a band I've been waiting for all my life.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just, it was, yes, that you know, at the time they were really young, they're still in school. But it was the songwriting,
Yeah.
you know, and but there was that, you have it in the, it's that magical kind of connection that's between all of them. You can't put your finger on it, what that chemistry is, but it was there even at the beginning. And you know, from that moment, I felt, you know, I became their biggest fan and their biggest supporter, I think, you know, and champion.
Yeah.
Because right, okay, this band's really special. And yeah, they did turn out to be.
Yeah.
So
And Melon as well. That was a
Melon, yeah, so it
would you
could,
say that that was like a key record you released
I think,
record?
well, I'd go as far as say that Melon's not just a key record for Libertino, but I
Oh,
think
of course, yeah.
it's a key record for Wales,
Definitely, yeah.
because it's a record that captures a moment in an artist's life that doesn't usually get captured. You know, those batches of songs that you write right at the beginning when you're 16, 17,
Yeah.
they're usually discarded.
Yeah.
But there's something, you know, like with Gorky Psychotic Monkey, I love Patio. I think Patio is one of the best records ever to come out of Wales.
Yeah.
But you know, that's the same kind of energy, if you like. There's a purity in it. It's not been overthought. And you do have that in Melon. It's just them. It's and what's amazing, I don't think there's another record that has actually captured what it is like to be a Welsh, you know, female artist as a teenager, you know,
Yeah.
16, 17, 18. And that those stories haven't been said in song before. And they say it, you know, it's just such a, it's still a great record, you know. It surpasses the whole thing, that if you like the myth around it about their age or anything, it just comes down to it. It's just a good
Yeah,
record.
really, really great songwriting. And
And
I love the way it all flows into each other as well. It's beautiful.
yeah, exactly.
It's a
And
real document, like you say, isn't it?
it's a
And
real document. And I always have really fond memories of going up to, they recorded it in Giant Wafer, which is a studio in Mid Wales. And you know, they were so relaxed. You know, I'd gone out for a couple of days to see them, and yeah, they were just, you know, they did it in a week or something, you
Wow.
know, where the bands would be really stressing, you know,
Yeah.
they were just enjoying the process.
That's
And
age though as well in some ways, isn't it? It's like the older you
exactly.
get sometimes, the more you might think about something like like the expectation or whatever. But like also their natural talent, I guess.
Yeah, and you can see that in you know, the albums that have come after.
Yeah.
So I think
You
for me, it would be important albums would be definitely Melon, and I think Solas
Yeah.
also was such, it's the only album we put out this year, kind of deliberately, because it's such a big album, you
Yeah.
know, not just in, well, it is a double. But you know, that's 3 years of everybody's life has gone into that, you know,
Yeah.
and the ambition behind that album, I think, yeah, I think my ambition for the band was probably bigger than the band's at the beginning, you know,
Yeah.
and I always said, you are going to create albums that are going to be up there with the Welsh heroes, from the Manics to Super Furries to
Yeah.
Gwenno and Kate, and I think they've done it with all of them, but Solas definitely, that lands there with your Holy Bibles and your Mungs, you know,
Yeah, I
it's,
do. It's a
you know,
brilliant record, yeah.
it's and the fact that they've created everything as a trilogy, you know, it just shows, this is not a band that's just creating bangers to just put singles out, you know, not, it's thought with all of it.
Yeah, because that is so unusual these days, isn't it? Releasing a double album is just like, and then a double album in Welsh is like, Yeah, that is really, I would say brave, but then, like you said, it's just sort of part of their creativity and documenting it, really.
it is. And looking, I feel like I've got the record next to me now, and there's so many albums. But I think also looking at this now, we got Anis, and Anis, for me, I'm sure you're aware, Gerwyn Jarvan, who's one, sadly lost not long ago. And wow, he created, I think, one of the best runs of albums ever, from his first album to the kind of mid-80s. It was nearly an album every year. And they're all amazing. And I would say that, Dylan, quite unassumingly, is creating such a back catalogue of great records. The first album was brilliant, but Dust Bowl North was such a step up. Especially you can feel that confidence, just in his voice. And I think Dylan's probably one of the most accomplished pop writers in Welsh, in Wales. He's just got this slightly McCartney-esque way with melody. And that's been, if you're talking about journeys, I've loved working with Dylan. It's, yeah, you probably can hear from my voice I'm smiling now, because I'm always excited about what he's creating, and he's now already thinking about the third album. And yeah, there's nothing more exciting for me, in my job than getting demos sent to me. I love that part, and it could be simple as just piano ideas on the phone, or sometimes bands send me just melody ideas. And what do you think of this? And that is really, that's an exciting part of it.
When you're giving your feedback, are you giving it as a label or a fan or a mixture of both? Because, we can get onto this later, but you talked about a quote about, reshaping the industry and thinking about it in a different way about, rather than it being, like a competition or whatever, it's about the music, for you. But often, like labels and A&R people or whatever, they'll think, oh, well, how can this, how can I get this on the radio, or how can I get this on a playlist or whatever? So when you're replying, are you just replying musically, or are you thinking about, oh, well, how can this work as a single, or you know what I mean? Where does this fit in my label or whatever? I'm just wondering your process, really, your thought process.
It's interesting you ask that question. It's a good question. I would say, I'd be disingenuous of me to say that I don't think
Yeah,
it's
you've
a
got to
label.
think,
Also, I think it is actually part of my job. It's twofold. I think the most important thing for me is that the end of a process, say if you're making an album, if an artist is happy with that album, we've won. Everything after that is a bonus, because I know how tough artists can be on themselves. And when I was an artist, I was never happy with anything I created. So if I can support and work with an artist so that they're at the point where they feel this is the best representation of my musical vision at this moment, we're one. And I think that in a way liberates them, because it's also, you can hear it as a listener, then, because we're not playing the game of trying to see what's going to be popular, what's going to be cool. I'm not, in a way, I'm not interested in buzz bands, it's quite more old school than that. But also part of that job is also to say if an artist does want to, be on the radio and so on. Obviously, you do need to know that, if you like, the rules of the game. You don't have to actually follow them, but you need to know the rules. So yeah, there's a couple albums recently. They're not out yet, but I have gone back and said, you know, the classic A&R line, I can't hear a single, which I hate to do, but
Well,
it's more.
you got to think something like that, haven't you, as well?
Yeah,
It can't totally be, oh, it's just about the music in terms of, you know, well,
no,
it is about
because.
the music, but it's also about how other people, how you're going to receive it, or that are more people going to listen to it. That's the point, isn't it, I guess.
Yes, because you know, otherwise you would get, you know, I've released some things in the past. You know, somebody's given me a 10-minute single, and I said, "Well, yeah, fine, I will release it, but for you to know, this highly unlikely we'll get the radio what you want on it."
Yeah, you got to be honest, sort
You
of.
have to be honest. So, but what I mean with asking, you know, I don't think asking for a single or is a bad thing actually, because I think the pop
No.
song is the most pure and the most amazing art form ever to be created, you know. So I love, you know, I love the pop single. So and most of the artists I work with, obviously they work within kind of pop sensibility then, you know, and the pop song kind of structure. So it's quite exciting to if somebody sends nine tracks or an album, and I think, okay, these are great, but why don't you go back and you put everything you've put into the nine other songs into one song, you know? Or and so you try and encapsulate everything that the album's about into one song, and so this album actually, this song becomes, if you like, the calling card for that album. So that in itself is, you know, it's really exciting. So yeah, it's part of the, I think the job really. You know, I have to be the biggest supporter, but also I also have to be in some ways the most honest critic.
Yeah, because even you got something like you got something like Eto on this record, and also on the last Adawaith album, that opens them up because it's so anthemic, and you know, it's so it could reach a new audience, can't it? So for
Yeah,
their
definitely.
other work as well.
Well, definitely. You know, I've just seen footage this morning. Actually, they're over in Switzerland at the moment, and you know, they were playing Eto to a square full of Welsh football fans, and we're all singing it back. And you're right, the reach of songs like that then opens up to a way bigger fan base, who might be willing then to follow other paths you're going down creatively.
Well, I remember that with the Manics. You know, I'm a big Manics fan, and really, although I was aware of them, it was really Everything Must Go. It was really Everything Must Go for me, because it
Yeah.
was just such big, bold melodies, big, bold statements. And then I went back and bought all their albums. I was aware of them before. I knew of a few songs, but I was a bit too young when they were first breaking through. So I went back with the other albums. I was like, God, these are all really different. So you got the Generation Terrorists, you know, Goal Against the Soul, which is more like alternative rock, really, in a way. And then you've got the Holy Bible, which is just like, wow, okay. So it's you know, sometimes you can go back, can't you, and just it can be an access point to an
Oh,
artist, you know.
100%. Actually, funny of you mentioned the Manics there. You know, I did exactly the same. I think I bought the Holy Bible. I bought it the same day as I bought Definitely Maybe. I was in
Wow,
school.
yeah. Okay, that is a contrast.
Very contrast. I couldn't get Definitely Maybe at the time. You know, I kind of appreciate it way more now. And
I
it's
loved it at
important.
the time. It was just so brash. It was so
Yeah,
brash.
I think it's because you have the Holy Bible. I think they were released on the same day. You might be wrong about this, but I
Around the
know.
same time, probably, yeah.
But you know, the Holy Bible just opened everything. You know, ended up Susie and Banshees, you know, The Cure, Gang of Four. You know, I learned so much that became a an open book for me, you know, for other. And then I went back, And you're right, and Generation Terrorist and Girl Against the Soul, which I do still think is a really underrated album.
Yeah,
It's amazing.
the Maddox are funny because like I love them with all my heart, but like every album has got like a couple of tracks that aren't quite as good as the others. Maybe apart from Holy Bible, Everything Must Go, probably the two get closest to that perfect album. But it's kind of that's kind of sweet in a way, though. I like that. But that album, especially like the first 8 or 9 tracks, are really great.
Oh yeah, and
The last
did they think
few, not so keen on, but
that?
you know, yeah, it's
Yeah,
all
did they think it
opinions.
was too American or something? Which I
Yeah, they don't seem to like it as much
like
as they
it.
used to. I think it was that whole Nirvana. It was in that in-betweeny period, wasn't it, with grunge and between grunge and you know, I hate these terms, but between grunge and the sort of mid-90s stuff that was happening here. So yeah, they were. I think they did go up to America and record it there. I think so. Because it
Yeah.
has got like more of an American sound, doesn't it?
But yeah, but you're right. It's just full of big tunes, really,
Big,
isn't it?
big chunky bar chords. And
Yeah.
yeah, it
Yeah.
is an underrated album, actually. It is,
Oh, no,
weirdly.
it's fair enough. A friend of mine recently bought it on vinyl, and
Yeah.
went over to his house to listen to it, and I thought, oh my gosh, because I've always been, the Holy Bible.
Yeah.
I blame the Holy Bible for my really bad hearing, because I used to walk to school with it on Walkman for the whole of kind of fifth form and sixth form, and yeah, I think that's why I've got really bad hearing, because used to
Yeah.
blast it every day.
It's the hazards of a job, isn't it? You know, I got tinnitus as well, so it's like, you know, it's one of them, isn't it?
But it's mental. It's full circle. Sorry, just
No,
saying.
go on, crack on.
Advice playing with a Mannix
Yes, of
a couple of
course.
months ago, and oh my gosh, I do want to fanboy. It's very hard not to, but it's like, if the 14-year-old me, who is really into them,
Yeah.
knew that I, in the future, I'd be working with a band who supported them, yeah, it's just mind blowing, really.
You
And that was, yeah, wouldn't have
wouldn't have
believed it.
believed it. You wouldn't have made it up,
No,
you know. So
no. So yeah, really cool.
it is funny, isn't it? Like what things happen, and like if you get involved in music randomly, when I it's nothing compared to what you've done, but when we were doing this these like covers compilations, especially during lockdown, because like it was a charity sort of drive in a way. But the REM thing was a bit mad because the
I remember that.
yeah, because I had a bit of a chat with like their fan club guy and told him what we were doing. And I thought, oh, so they might, you know, they might recognize it or whatever, might share something. And then so when it came out, he actually got the band to listen to it and like give quotes. And I just thought that was like the most amazing thing, because like they with the Manics, they were probably my favorite band growing up. So it was just like one of these things. I would never have made that up. A bit, and it's interesting you talk about Factory as well, because I had a bit of that with God Is in the TV as well. It's like I never like okay, it is mainly an online webzine, but it could be a label, it could be a promotion. Do you know what I mean? I always had that. I always found that exciting, that idea that it could be anything, and I got that a bit from Factory in a way. That idea of it's not just one thing. It's almost like a like you've written here. It's almost like an ethos. You know, it's like a it could be anything people want to do. Do you know what I mean? It's like
Yeah, they
don't
do like.
define, don't box yourself in. It's a bit like that with the music, isn't it? Don't box yourself in. But it could also be like that with
Well, I think
in
labels
music.
like Factory taught me in many ways, that actually a label can have a philosophy, a personality, a soul. It's
Definitely.
you're right, and it goes back to what you just said. It can be whatever you want it to be. It's not to feel confined, so I don't want my artists and the artists I work with to be feel confined in any way, and neither do I want to be confined, and I think going back to the beginning of the label, it's really important that, in a way, Libertino was like a one shop stop for everything,
Yeah.
because releasing the records is actually the I say that the least working I do, it's It's the A&R side that takes up the time, the management side. So everybody's on management, and it's that support network that's really important. I think the moment you, as an artist, feel that you have somebody that believes in you, that really, I think, brings everything together. You can be more focused and more confident in where you want to go. And also the live side of the label as well. I'll be honest, I spend most of my time doing gigs,
I bet.
and nobody real, so in a way that's the side of the label and people don't see, but the until the band is ready to get a booking agent, it's the label that does most of the bookings. Because in a way, the way the industry is now, we kind of have gone back in time. The only way to get a fan base for grassroots artists is actually to be out on the road. So I think that was really important for me, to, and it's all about finding a way that is sustainable for them to be, to be the artist they want to be. So it's not about, it's all about, if you like, the long story. It's about, the it's not, can we get this first single on New Music Friday spot, Spotify playlists? Great if we do, but it's not the most important thing.
You're not
What's
looking to like
important?
sort of create a buzz and then just fizzle out.
No, it
You're
has
looking
to
to
be,
create a sustainable, sustainable.
yes.
I don't want to say career because that's a really troubling word in music, but like sustainable arc of, artistic work, isn't it? Like body you can look back on, like you talked about with Adwaith, you can look back on that and say, that's a document of what they've done and keep going forward, especially with the new album, keep going forward musically and literally,
Yeah, literally, you can see it with, my gosh, I've been working with another band from the beginning, was Los Blancos. And also, I think this idea that you change actually what the idea of success is, so for a band like them who, I think we did the first album, which I still think is one of the most important debut albums to come out from Wales, Ysbryd Gwyn. It's an absolutely amazing album. They're kind of at the post at the moment of writing the third album, but if you like, what I like is that you look at the trajectory of their releases, it's going with their lives, so it's following what's happening with them, and is finding the right balance that works for them to still be a band, still to be creative, and still tell their story, but also to have the life that they want. So you do have some bands who literally are willing to and can literally live in a van and sleep on floors, and how you work with a band like that is different to a band who maybe have other careers outside, or still want to, that their creativity is still as valid.
Definitely.
It's just that, the economic kind of reality of life has been different for them,
And not everyone wants to, like you put here, play the game or make it or whatever. They might just want to make music for themselves or, for the artistic reason, like you put here as well. There's these myths that you have to, and it's like a treadmill, isn't it? And often it can be, we've seen in certain hope, in a lot of cases, it can be that it's not like a normal existence, isn't it? Living life on the road,
It's not.
it can really have an effect on your mental health. Like I
Yeah,
can
it
imagine
can.
that
It
the pressure, the pressure.
tends to, it tends to spit you out, if I'm honest. I think as a label, I've got a healthy, should we say, mistrust of the music industry. And I think having that kind of deliberate step back, has actually been really beneficial for me and my own kind of mental health, but also for the artists.
Yeah.
There is, I've always said this, there's no point trying to achieve something if it's at the detriment of your health.
Definitely.
So it's always about, when I'm a big believer, it's not very exciting, I know, but plans, I love doing plans, and I think the moment a band has got a plan of where they want to be in 6 months or 12 months, as we do, that actually takes a lot of the pressure away. Because
Yeah.
even if you don't hit the marks you want to along the way, at least you kind of know there's a certainty of where you want to be.
Yeah.
And within that, then we can pace it to be, at the right speed for them.
Yeah.
And it kind of brings it back to something I know you both of us have spoken about before, the idea of I'm really passionate about trying to build infrastructure in Wales for Welsh artists. And I think, as a Welshman, as part, so he's really proud to be part of the scene and the community here. I think the if there's one thing we can take into the future and work on as a community, is that we do build that infrastructure for artists,
Yeah.
where the idea, and a lot of artists think that, their future is in London, it's down the M4 corridor. And unfortunately, that's a myth that's been, I think, it's been sold since the 90s.
Yeah.
The moment you signed with the London label, you kind of made it. The truth is, I think there is a greater chance of you having a sustainable career that is actually has a more international and national reach by actually working with people around you who know you. And
Putting your
it
own infrastructure in
oh,
place almost,
100%.
yeah.
I think right at the beginning of the label, I saw a great documentary about REM. I feel you mentioned REM, and I you're one of my favorite bands. And when they started in Athens, Georgia, there wasn't a scene. The scene
No.
around them was more the kind of Black Flag and the kind of
Punk,
post-hardcore bands kicking
yeah.
around. And so there wasn't a place to play. So they used to play in pizza
Yeah.
restaurants and things. And so they created, with other bands that were friends with, they created a scene. And what I really admired about REM is, like, even to the moment they stopped, they nearly had the same team. Because it was about that idea of community.
Yeah.
And they went out and they created that movement. They created that scene. And that's one thing I wanted to do with that Libertino. And I wanted to go out. And there was a scene I was quite lucky to be part of in Carmarthen at the time, Carmarthenshire. But wider than that, I wanted to kind of create a scene that was different to what I think had been in Wales since the 90s.
Yeah.
It was a scene that is very much about doing it on our terms.
Yeah.
I'm not going out looking for validation from outside. I'm not waiting. It's not waiting for permission
Yeah.
to be the label we want to be, to work with the artists we want to. And it's that idea of confidence and self-determination, if you like, that is really still ingrained so strongly in everything I do. And it's actually really positive because it's about what we're for, not what we're against. And I think over the nearly the last decade, you can see it. We've always done bilingual gigs.
Yeah.
That was deliberate because I knew that what would happen and what has happened is actually a lot of bands now are introduced to Welsh language or music in the Welsh language.
Yeah.
And bands don't ask me, okay, but, should I do an English song to get more radio or anything? It's actually the other way around. It's actually easier now, probably, to get a Welsh song on a radio sometimes, because we're slowly changing the idea of going back to the idea of how to make it. Because what all these bands I work with, from Ynys to Los Blancos to Adwaith and Siwla, have in common is that they're being true to their ideas. Where I think bands in the past have actually looked outside Wales to see what is cool and what we can, and what these bands have done is actually, no, this is what we want to do. And it goes back to that, David Bowie always said, don't play to the audience. The most important person on stage is me. And that is key, I think, because that's what attracts you as a fan and as a listener, is actually an artist being fully themselves.
And unfortunately, some of these ideas, like you mentioned, this idea that you need a London label or London press or whatever to give you that stamp, are sort of perpetuated, aren't they, over the decades and stuff. But actually, they're not really grounded in any reality of now. Like you said, sort of to actually sustain something, you've got to build it from the ground up, really.
You do.
To actually build an audience, it takes a long time. It takes years these days. It takes a lot of effort. You're not just gonna suddenly go on a Spotify playlist and then bang, it just doesn't happen, So especially for, the level we're talking about and like the music we're talking about. So it needs to be a more sustainable way of growing, doesn't it? And sort of building and that. And I often think as well, especially, from a Cardiff perspective, I often think that some people think it's like a competition. And I think to myself, well, actually, we're actually all in the same, we're all in the same world. There's actually a limited amount of audience for all of these things. So wouldn't it be better if we worked together? Do you know what I mean? Sometimes I do think that. And not everybody, there's people like you, and there's a lot of great people, a lot of great promoters, a lot, there's Andrew at Carew, and there's a lot of great promoters here as well. But I do think sometimes it's like, why are you scheduling that gig on the same night as this other gig? And I get it's Cardiff, if you've got your big stadium shows, that's different. But when it's like your smaller venues, do you know what I mean? I often think to myself, well, could we work together? Or, how do we help each other? Because ultimately, I'm not in a competition with anyone else. Who am I competing with? Buzz Magazine? No. I know Noel, great guy. Did some writing for them myself. It's not a competition to me. I don't see it as like, whatever you're doing is like doing me down. Do you know what I mean? It's like, don't. I don't think of it that way. I think of it like,
This is
it's a
bang
community, isn't
on.
it? It's a community
It
that.
is a community.
How can we help each other? That's how I think. But
And I think,
maybe I'm.
no, this is perfect. This is, the way it should be. And I think you can look at the amount of labels there are now in Wales to, say, 10 years ago. And what is, I think, it's a great moment for artists in Wales, because actually, there's actually a choice of which label is best for you, and what works for you and your music. You got, say, Kosh up in North Wales with O's. My gosh, he's amazing at what he does. You got Bubble Wrap, who I
I
love.
was going to mention
I
that,
was like,
yeah. Great
I've got,
label, yeah.
if there's a, yeah, I really admire what Rich does. Everything looks amazing.
He
He
actually
sounds
designed
amazing.
our logo, our last logo. So he's,
Funny enough,
love him.
I was on meeting with him today about doing some artwork for me. But just an amazing label, so beautifully created, curated, sorry. So you're right. I think there is, what's nice, I do feel there's a bit of a growing, understanding and appreciation of each other that's happening, because we do, we all have the same goal, and our goal is just to get Mush music out there. So I think it'd be nice in the next, let's say, looking at the next decade, that slowly trickles across Wales, so the bigger festivals that we have here actually start listening to actually what's actually happening in Wales. And there is more of a platform for Welsh artists, I think, even within Wales. That isn't happening all the time. You do have things like Focus Wales, who are
Sales, yeah.
amazing.
And I mentioned to Neil, I said, oh, there's nothing like this in Cardiff, really. Like
It'd be great,
he actually said he was thinking of something, so you never know.
But it is that thing, isn't it? I think there's a lot of work to be done even within Wales, I think, of creating a kind of more level playing field for all artists. And I think that is one thing as a label. It took me until probably last year I realized I was actually working with more bands who were outside the label that were inside the label, in mentoring and supporting. Because anybody comes to me, can you help me with a release plan, or I'll sit down and go through it and get ideas. Because I've always believed that there's no point in Libertino being a successful label if the whole ecosystem around us isn't successful. It's coming back to what you just said, is that the weight of numbers. If everybody's successful and doing, firing all cylinders, there's a wave then going out from Wales. And we can't be ignored in the way that I think, in some ways, we have been ignored for the last 30 plus years. So it's really important that we all try and find a way of, coexisting and working together.
I agree. I'm definitely up for if anyone wants to talk to me about anything, because I just think, especially when you get to a certain age, you're just like, well, what am I in this for? What am I? I love music, but I'd actually like to pass on things that whatever I've learned in this time, in these decades I've been doing it. What? You know what I mean? It to me, that's more important than like. Because I, sorry to make it about myself, but I've done PR and stuff for like probably 15 years, and I'm at the point now where I'm thinking to myself, I only want to work on things that I really, really, really love, and that's it, but aside from that, if somebody, like you said, if any bands or artists or anything want to pick my brains or have a chat or whatever about anything I could help them with, just from my perspective, then feel free,
No, totally. And recently I think two bands I've been working with have ended up on other labels, because I also believe that they found the right home for them.
Yeah, you can't release everything, can
And
you?
you
So,
can't release everything. You
yeah.
can't
Some things might not fit as well, what you're doing.
No, and even for what is quite an eclectic label, there is actually a sound in a way, that you know a little bit. I know a Libertino artist when I see one. Let's say, I was just said about Bowcat. I saw them and I thought, you're gonna really fit. This would be a good home for you. And those moments are really precious, I think. Because if I'm looking from the next chapter, it's going to be less about, small releases. It's going to be about that long-term relationship with artists. So, it's going to be about probably not as much as I have done emerging artists, but more working with artists that are going to release a couple of albums, and do want to tour, do want to kind of, if you like, take it to a different level of commitment from them and from me. So we are pushing it out there, you know. So, and that's exciting in itself. You know, it's like, okay,
Sure.
where can we take, you know, where's the next Anis Alden going to take him? You know, Dylan's managed to do, I think, two tours, full tours this year, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And so he's, and we're looking at Europe next year. So, you know, it's exciting in itself. It's like, okay, wow, okay, you managed to do this last record is taking you to here. Where can the third one take you?
Yeah.
So yeah, you never get
It's
bored of this job.
yeah, and it's good to have those defining artists, isn't it, as a label, because those are the ones that define you almost, you know. Obviously, like you said, it's an eclectic thing. So, you know, I was going to mention you've got Minas on here, who's actually gone on to form his own band called Teething, hasn't he, recently? So
Which
you
is
released All My Love Has Failed Me, his debut album, like 3 years ago now. And I thought
yes,
that was a
yeah,
fantastic album because it just sort of really taps into that kind of hip hop scene, but also electronic punk, you know, and
I'm
all the
so
things we're dealing with in the world, the chaos of the world.
that you're right. There's albums that come around, and you think, gosh, I'm really, really honored to have released that,
It's,
because
I thought that was an incredible record,
it's
really.
an amazing record. Actually, you can see it on it's looking at me now on my vinyl shelf. Yeah, just such an amazing artist, really. You know, the way I think there's a restlessness to his creativity, and you can feel it in that the energy from that comes from that in the album. It's just captivating. And the poetry, you know, his lyrics are poetry. And also it's very Cardiff. You know, when I listen to it, it feels like it bleeds Cardiff, you know. It's and to have such a city soundscape to it,
Yeah, it
you
is,
don't
isn't it?
usually get in from, well, a lot of Welsh artists. So you know, I'm looking, my gosh, I've been really lucky. There's so many important artists, I feel, for Wales, who have come through the label. And that's another thing, is the longer I've been doing this, the more I realize relationships don't have, it's amazing when they do last a decade and more, but actually there's a beauty sometimes that somebody like Minas chose Libertino for the home for that album, and then has moved on to form another band, because I think we were the right home for that release. It might not be the right home for the what he does next, but for that very moment, we're all interlocked and connected with that record to get it out there. And those moments are really precious.
Cool. So what else have you got coming up then in the next few months that you could actually talk about?
Well, I've got literally in a couple of days, tomorrow. Oh my gosh, I've got Sula's debut album
Oh
coming
yeah. Look forward to hearing
out,
that. Yeah.
which is absolutely, yeah, it's going back to that Minas thing. It's beautiful. It's yeah, it's another kind of celebration of Cardiff in many ways, the multiculturalness of Cardiff, and the, you know, it's a city at night. It really does feel that it's an album for the nighttime. And so yeah, so glad that's coming out. And then actually my favorite band when I was younger, The Keys, I still have to pinch myself that I'm working with, because I think they're Welsh rock royalty, really. So their album's coming out in 2 weeks, called Acid Communism. And I do feel, yeah, it's another, yeah, there's another step into another world for them. You know, it's very much The Keys, but there's a real new wave kind of feeling to it. It's not 1968, it's 1978, and there's a bit of that kind of New York early 80s strut to it. So yes, I'm really, really excited about that. And then obviously you've got Bowcut's first single with us coming out next fortnight. And then everybody else is just, I think so many artists are in the studio or recording. So it's looking at to be quite a busy year next year. And I think Adwaith are literally not off the road until Christmas. So a lot to do with that, to be honest. I'm
Nice.
really looking forward to them playing Green Man. They're on the same night as Kneecap.
Wow. Okay.
So I think that's going to be quite an important cultural moment, really. That one of the biggest Welsh language singing bands, and then you have Kneecap, Irish Gaelic band. So that's, I think it's going to be, yeah, a big moment. Really excited. And I'm trying to think. I think I've got a big list. I do. I always write on a whiteboard. That's in the kitchen of to-dos.
People can find out more on your website, can't they?
Yeah, they will. And
What
I'm
is
always
it? What
posting.
are the web? What's the website? Is it libertino.com?
Libertinorecords.com. Yeah,
Records.com.
and also Instagram or Facebook. It tends to be more Instagram nowadays, isn't it?
Instagram seems to be a big one these days, doesn't
And I find it
it?
way. But yeah, I think also what the most important thing for the next couple of months is that I'm taking a bit of a stock of things and seeing where I want to go next, which is nice. I've kind of deliberately, I have releases, but it's nice that the bands are all recording or demoing and writing at the moment because it gives me a time to think, hang on, how do I want the next chapter to look like?
Rather than when you're in the middle of it, you can't really see
You can't see the wood for the trees, right? And that tends to be, yeah, I think that's going to be key. I think
You see who you might want to work with in future as well, you
well,
know,
exactly. Well,
what
I've been,
artists you're excited by and stuff like that, new
yeah,
music and
I always laugh. I behaved myself. I do get very excited about artists and new music, but I haven't in the last 2 years. There's only been a couple of signings, deliberately because, as I was saying, the artists I do have were really busy, and it's important to kind of support them, to not just always chase
The
something
new.
new. Because obviously they're creating new music as well, and it's important that the whole point is, in a way, is to kind of create that journey for them. Yeah, and I also want to kind of find a way that it is sustainable for me. That's never been my strong point. I always worry about the artists, and kind of laugh about it, but it's always been from one burnout to the next with me. You kind of do too much, and I'm no good to the artist then if I'm burnt out. So I think it's key over the next few months is find a way that's actually kinder myself and still keep the label,
I
moving
think that's
forward.
really important because, like, as creative people, we can just, like, I don't know about you. Well, it sounds like you just sort of get lost in what you're doing and just, like, especially with me, I just start like writing articles in my head and getting like weighed down with all this admin stuff. Do you know what I mean? Rather than actually stepping back and thinking, well, actually, what do I want to do? And what do I want to say? And what do I want to, you know what I mean? And finding that balance within yourself, isn't it? And like where you could do your best work, really.
Oh, I think we're very similar. So it's hard to,
Boom or bust, you know?
yeah, it
It's,
is.
you know,
But
it's a pattern you have to get out of, really, if you want to be productive, isn't it?
And you're right, you can get lost in it. Because, as I always say, there's nothing better than listening to music.
Yeah.
And actually, but actually talking and writing about it is a very close second, you know.
Yeah.
So it's hard sometimes not to get completely sucked in to the moment.
And like you said, when you first hear something, I'm like that when I'm reviewing as well, unashamedly so, you know, because when you first hear it, it's like it's that excitement, isn't it? It's
Oh my
that
gosh,
buzz,
yeah.
you know.
It's just
It's
nuts.
often I say this to people when like big bands bring back an, you know, they come back with like an album and stuff. It's actually hard to separate the excitement sometimes of the fact that they're coming back with new music or whatever, and your actual critical, you know, critical faculty or whatever, because you're just, as a fan, you're like, oh, well, it's great they released a new album after so many years and stuff. And it's like you have to step back and think, actually, do I actually really like this, or do am I excited by the excitement that they're back? You know what I mean? Hearing new music, you know. It's hard one. It's very hard to untangle that as a music fan, isn't it, really? So there's always going to be a bit of that excitement because that is your passion, isn't it? You know, so.
But yeah, you know, I know that Kid Smoke will be coming back hopefully next year.
Nice. I
But
loved their
it's
first album.
oh, it's brilliant.
I've got one of their early EPs as well. That was really great as well. Isn't it like one of their biggest songs on one of their early EPs? I'm
Was
sure
it
it is.
High?
Is it Take Me to the
Oh, Take Me to the
Waters?
River.
The River, that's it.
Is that,
Because I
yeah.
was looking on, you know, streaming and stuff, and that was the one that was like huge. I was like, oh, okay. And
Yeah,
it is a great
that was
song,
really
but it's
big.
funny, isn't it? It is funny.
But you know, they're coming back, so it's the same with them. You know, it's I want that clarity of when I'm going to start working with them again on the next record. That actually, because I need that clarity to listen to them properly, take in exactly what you know the narrative is of this record, and to present it truthfully. You know, my head can't be all over the place, because you want to be true to them. And so yeah, so I think that in itself is really positive that I'm beginning to realize, hang on, I need to not burn out all
Yeah,
the
definitely. I feel that one, mate. I feel that one. And like you said, mental health's really important, not just for the artist, but everyone surrounding them as well, you know.
100%, 100%.
That is the thing about the music industry. It's just like mental health is just, you know, I mean, it's better than it was. Like people talk about it, and but it's still the way the things are set up are just not conducive if you've got any kind of issue at all. So,
No, because I think the expectations are so high.
it's like, keep going, keep going, keep going. It's like a treadmill, isn't it? It's like,
Yeah, and I think the artists are always told if you don't take that opportunity, it won't come again. So in it feels like a snake that's swallowing its own tail sometimes.
Yeah, talking about ourselves, not healthy, is it? Because it, and is this, I think maybe it's worse because of online, like social media and streaming and stuff. Is this thirst, isn't there, for new stuff all the time? And algorithms as well. It's like feed the algorithm and feed the streaming. I was talking to Captain on previous podcast, and we were talking about the difference between a creator and an artist. It's an interesting subject, isn't it? Because obviously, the way things are pushed is increasingly now, it's like as an artist, you've got to be almost like an influencer or a creator, but actually, your art is like the most important thing to you rather than just constantly updating with video. But then on the other hand, your fan base wants all that as well. So it's like, wow, you know.
Yeah, because your fan base has become in tune to that algorithm, isn't it? It's but then you know I'm working with people who I genuinely see as artists through and through. It's like Angharad, who's Aku, you know, Angharad's not just a musician; she's a visual artist, and everything Angharad does is her life is an extent is an art. You know, and with somebody like her, you know, you have to respect how she creates the art, you know, her art, and you know, it'd be wrong of me to go to her and say, right, okay, I need a single every 3 months so we keep the algorithm of Spotify going so we can push you up the playlists. I'm not interested in that. That's not who she is. What I want is when she's got a next release and album ready, is that I have it as she wants it to be. And obviously, as right at the beginning of this conversation, I said, yes, I will suggest maybe, okay, this will do better on radio. And or we could have a radio edit on this because we want your music on the radio. You want to hear it yourself on the radio and it'll help. But that's as far as it goes with me, really. I'm not willing to play the other game
You're not going
of
to say, you need a remix of that and
no.
you need to take that out and that's not
And
your role, is it? Really? That's more of a
it's not
producer's sort of role.
it's not and it's it's sad sometimes you do see bands, you don't feel it's them on how they social media because they the it's going back to the idea right at the beginning of conversations of chasing something. I think one thing that's always was really important at the beginning and it's always there is I believed if you packaged music in a way that truly reflects it, so the artwork, the aesthetic of it, fully of the world that the artist wants it to be. Actually, people will come to you. That's why I never chase producers much for radio. I send it, I've got good relationships, but if you're going to play it, you're going to play it. And I think that has been important, and it's actually worked up to now. It's actually that idea of creating that world because as a fan, that's what you want. It's not just the music. When you fall in love with a band, you actually fall in love with, the what poetry they're reading, what cinema they're looking at. It's going back to the Manics. You learn
Yeah,
as
definitely.
much about literature and cinema and politics, actually, from the Manics, as I did about, the Cure and Simple Minds and the bands that influenced them, and that's all about creating that world, and I think that's what there's one strong point for Libertino is that we do create those worlds, and within that world, it does actually becomes a quite a I think a nurturing and a safe place for the artist to be as well. They're not forced to be something they're not.
So, mate, that's a good place to leave it, I think.
Thank you.
good for chatting. Good for chatting.
Off on one there.
No, very interesting. I think that is really interesting, It is. I definitely agree. I like all of the artists and bands I loved growing up. Like they had something, to teach me beyond just the music. And I do think, like, I do agree with you, like the art and the visual side of it is all an extension of whatever an artist or a band's putting out there is part of it, but there's a line between that and sort of chasing it, isn't it? They're chasing the stats or the engagement or whatever. Sometimes that can be detrimental as well. So it's finding that balance. Again, it's balance, isn't
It's
it?
finding the
Balance.
balance.
Thanks for listening to In the Spotlight podcast. I've been joined by Griff from Libertino Records. Till the next time, ta-ra.
Ah.